first lesson today is Isaiah chapter 58. It's found on page 740, and it's verses 1 through 9a. Shout it aloud, do not hold back. Raise your voice like a trumpet. Declare to my people their rebellion and to the descendants of Jacob their sins. For day after day they seek me out. They seem eager to know my ways as if they were a nation that does what is right and has not forsaken the commands of its God. They ask me for just decisions and seem eager for God to come near them. Why have we fasted, they say, and you have not seen it? Why have we humbled ourselves and you have not noticed? Yet on the day of your fasting, you do as you please and exploit all your workers. Your fasting ends in quarreling and strife and in striking each other with wicked fists. You cannot fast as you do today and expect your voice to be heard on high. Is this the kind of fast I have chosen? Only a day for people to humble themselves? Is it only for bowing one's head like a reed and for lying in sackcloth and ashes? Is that what you call a fast, a day acceptable to the Lord? Is not this the kind of fasting I have chosen? To loose the chains of injustice and untie the cords of the yoke, to set the oppressed free and break every yoke? Is it not to share your food with the hungry and to provide the poor wanderer with shelter? When you see the naked, to clothe them and not to turn away from your own flesh and blood? Then your light will break forth like the dawn and your healing will quickly appear. Then your righteousness will go before you and the glory of the Lord will be your rear guard. Then you will call and the Lord will answer. You will cry for help and he will say, here am I. Here ends the first lesson. Okay, our psalm today is Psalm 112, and it's found on page 607. And we're going to read verses 1 through 9. I'll do the odds, you do the evens. Praise the Lord. Blessed are those who fear the Lord, who find great delight in his commands. Wealth and riches are in their houses, and their righteousness endures forever. Good will come to those who are generous and lend freely, who conduct their affairs with justice. They will have no fear of bad news. Their hearts are steadfast, trusting in the Lord. They have freely scattered their gifts to the poor. Their righteousness endures forever. Their horn will be lifted high in honor. I think we're good. So our second lesson is 1 Corinthians. It's chapter 2, verses 1 through 12, and it's on page 1143. And so it was with me, brothers and sisters. When I came to you, I did not come with eloquence or human wisdom as I proclaimed to you the testimony about God. For I resolved to know nothing while I was with you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. I came to you in weakness with great fear and trembling. My message and my preaching were not with wise and persuasive words, but with a demonstration of the Spirit's power, so that your faith might not rest on human wisdom, but on God's power. We do, however, speak a message of wisdom among the mature, but not the wisdom of this age or of the rulers of this age who are coming to nothing. No, we declare God's wisdom, a mystery that has been hidden and that God destined for our glory before time began. None of the rulers of this age understood it, for if they had, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. However, as it is written, what no eye has seen, what no ear has heard, and what no human mind has conceived, the things God has prepared for those who love him. These are the things God has revealed to us by his Spirit. The Spirit searches all things, even the deep things of God. For who knows a person's thoughts except their own spirit within them? In the same way, no one knows the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. What we have received is not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, so that we may understand what God has freely given us. Here ends the second lesson.
Gospel according to Matthew, the 5th chapter. You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It's no longer good for anything except to be thrown out, trampled underfoot. You are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on a stand. It gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. Do not think that I have come to abolish the law or prophets. I've not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them. For truly I tell you, until heaven and earth disappear, not the smallest letter, nor the least stroke of a pen, will by any means disappear from the law until everything is accomplished. Therefore, anyone who sets aside one of the least of these commands and teaches others accordingly will be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever practices and teaches these commands will be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I tell you, unless your righteousness surpasses that of the Pharisees and the teachers of the law, you will certainly not enter the kingdom of heaven. The Gospel of the Lord. Would you please be seated? Could I have the children come down for the children's sermon? He's so nice. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father, from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. What I want to do this morning to begin with is I want to read a part of the scripture that I just read to you from the Sermon on the Mount. I want to read it from the Message version of the Bible simply because I think Eugene Peterson does just such a beautiful, I don't know, it's just beautiful imagery. It's so descriptive. So here we go. Let me tell you why you're here. You ever wonder that sometimes, why you're here? Yeah, let me tell you why you're here. You're here to be salt seasoning that brings out the God flavors of the earth. If you lose your saltiness, how will people taste godliness? You've lost your usefulness and will end up in the garbage. Well, here's another way to put it. You're here to be light, bringing out the God colors in the world. God's not a secret to be kept. We're going public with this, as public as a city on a hill. If I make you light bearers, you don't think I'm going to hide you under a bucket, do you? I'm putting you on a light stand. And now that I've put you there on a hilltop, on a light stand, shine. Keep open house. Be generous with your lives. By opening up to others, you'll prompt people to open up with God, the generous Father in heaven. Kind of cool, isn't it? So what's it mean to be salt and light? What Jesus calls us to be. So what I want to do is, you might have seen this before. I don't know. It's okay. I want to show you a little clip. All right. From Mike Breen. And he's talking about this very passage that we're talking about, this very idea of light and salt.
So we've got the upward dimension, we've got the inward dimension, what about the outward dimension? Well, we are the hands and the feet, we are the face of Jesus to the world. How are we salt and light? How are we present among others who do not know him like salt? How are we reflections of who he is, light, to those around us? You know, the Lord really put me under pressure about this. In fact, he's put me under pressure about it many, many times. But the time that I'd like to share with you now was when I was, again, working in the inner city. It was not the same one, same community that I referred to earlier. I was now a pastor. I was seeing a church beginning to grow and develop amongst the poorer members of the community. And it was a multiracial community. senior youth worker. Finally, he saw what I saw and he went, and then he went,
So I've built a giant cross, and following the service, you're all invited to join me, and I'll probably be all by myself too, so we're not doing that one. But you know, these verses that we have, the salt and light, you know, they are some of the most beautiful verses that we have, and yet, I believe if we really take a look at them, they're probably some of the most disturbing verses that we have. I think one of the problems sometimes is that for many of us, we have read or we have heard these things so many times that, you know, we really don't think about them anymore. We just kind of gloss over those things. Because what Jesus tells us is this: we're going public with this. Not back then, but right now, we're going public with this. And typically, that makes us uncomfortable. Because when we think about taking God's word public, what the church has done in the past, you can turn those back on, John, if you don't mind. What the church has done in the past is we've either taken that to mean go door to door, or go stand in the parking lot, yell out, "Jesus is the light of the world." Or better yet, the best one, you get somebody trapped in a car or an airplane. You know, you're going down the freeway at 70 miles an hour. They can't escape. You get them in an airplane. You're at 35,000 feet. And you dazzle them with your theological repertoire. But the idea still scares most of us. Because we've been taught, and we buy into this idea, that faith is personal. And because it's personal, you know, we don't share it with other folks. Because A, we don't want to offend them, or B, and I think this is the one that really is the thing, we don't want them to think we're weird. So just a few things. First of all, most of the time when you talk with people about your faith, you're talking to your friends. You're talking to people who know you. They already know you're weird. You don't have to worry about it. Because you really don't go out on the corners to... Maybe you do, and I don't know about this. Do you go out on the corners and grab people or stand there? Jesus is the light of the world. If so, I've got a train leaving right. We'll just go down to the parking lot right up. I don't think that happens. Or you're talking to somebody who wants to know about things. It's come up in a conversation. You don't just blurt it out in the middle of nowhere. Second thing. If you're worried about offending somebody, think about this. You can offend somebody by saying something, or you can offend Jesus by keeping your mouth shut. Which would you rather do? Third thing, faith is personal. And I'll buy that one. We all have personal faith. But personal does not equal private. Nowhere in the Bible does Jesus say your faith is to be private. Matter of fact, he tells us just the opposite. What's he tell us we're going to do? Take it public. You're like a what? How do you hide a city on a hill? You ever thought about that? There's not a piece of fabric out there big enough to do that. Fourth thing. Jesus says you are salt. You are light. It's not about what you will become someday when you have gathered all the great theological knowledge in the world. He says, this is what you are right now, salt and light. And then finally, he says, you're the salt of the what? earth and the light of the world. It does not say you are the salt of the church or the light of the church. It's about not just this place, but about what place? The one outside the doors. The earth, the world. That's where we're supposed to be doing this stuff. Now, last week, we talked about the kingdom of God. This kingdom, or we were calling it God's world. What's the world like? What's the world as God envisions it? So what we're talking about this week is, what are the people? Who are the people of God's world? That's what this is about, the people of God's world. And Jesus says this, you are invaluable. You are precious. You are valuable. You are worth more than anything else in the entire world. Because back in Jesus' time, salt was something that was very valuable. As a matter of fact, salt was so valuable back in Jesus' time that they actually paid soldiers in salt at times rather than gold or silver. Did you know that? Yeah, it's all about you're valuable. You're important. And we need to hear those words because there are sometimes we think we're not worth much. What we do doesn't matter. What we say doesn't matter. And what Jesus says is this, you are of great worth. And because you are of great worth, you are to be salt, the salt of the earth. And there's three things that came to people's minds when they heard those words. First one is this, purity. Purity. Salt was considered to be the most pure thing that there was because it came from the purest things that there were, the sun and the sea. God's people are to be pure. Now, usually when we think about pure today, we think about it in terms of sexuality. But when Jesus talks about being pure, he's talking about a whole lot of other things, such as purity of speech, thought, and honesty. He's talking about our relationships with one another, how we deal with folks. Those things are to be pure, not tainted. And notice, it isn't about judgment, looking at somebody else and saying, you know, you're not doing that the way you ought to be doing it. It's only about what? Us, how we're doing it, how we're hanging it up, how we're living it. Second thing, it's also about preservation. Salt was used, they didn't have refrigerators back then. So salt was used to preserve things. And we're called to preserve things. Things like people's dignity, justice, righteousness. Fairness, equality, to preserve the world in which we live. But the greatest thing about salt is that it's used as a seasoning, right? How many of you like your food with no salt on it? I don't care if maybe you'd have to have it that way, but how many of you like your food with no salt on it? It's kind of like, bleh, most of it, a lot of it, right? Salt does what? Seasons it, gives it some zest, some zing, some zip, some taste. Wow, it's good. That's what we're called to do to the world. We're called to give it some zest, some zip. Now, if you were to ask people, what are the top three things that a church does, or the top three things about the church, is zest, zip, and flavor in there. Thank you for playing the game, but you lose. Usually when we think of church, we think of, or God, it's kind of like, yeah, do I really have to today? I don't know. What a great way to get people. You know, we've talked about this one before. I love it. Go out. God loves you. He wants you to be part of his community. Great. What's it like? Oh, we'll just suck all the joy right out of your life. You won't laugh. You won't have fun. We'll just take away everything from you, but don't worry. Come and join us. You want to sign up? When we go out of here and we talk about what happens, when we talk about what's in our Bible, when we talk about God, do we do it with excitement and enthusiasm, or is it, yeah, well, you know, we'd rather talk about anything other than that. Jesus says we're called to be light. You know, there's a lot of darkness in the world in which we live. Poverty, hunger, bullying, hatred. So much darkness. But it's in those places that God's light needs to shine. And that's what we're called to do. Not go on the street corner and yell it, but just show it. When I was in seminary, I worked as a, I was the director of a youth program for the Salvation Army one summer. And we had like 75 kids in this program. You know, that's when you're young and stupid and don't know what you really ought to do and what you shouldn't do. So we took this group of kids to the Ohio Caverns, got a bus, drove them there, went down into the Ohio Caverns. Now, it was a wonderful place. And you get into the middle of this thing, and then they turn off all the lights. They tell you they're going to turn the lights off. I have never been in so dark a place in my life. Guy said, stick your hand in front of your face. You can't see it. It's pitch black. And then you see a little light. And you know what you do when you see the little light? You go there because you know that's the way out. It's safe. It's the place you ought to be. There's a lot of darkness in the world around us. And when God's light shines through us, it's like the light in that cavern. It draws people to it. Now here's the final thing. Salt and light do not exist for themselves. I mean, if you've got a lump of salt, does it do you any good? Looks kind of, you know, could look cool. You could have a nice formation of it. But the salt only works when you do what? You use it. Yeah, you put it in the food. You rub it on. You let it dissolve into the soup. Only when it's used. Light. If we light a candle and stick it under a can, does it do any good if the room's pitch black? No. You got to do what? Take it out from under the can, put it on top of it. Light and salt are only good when they're used. Jesus said, you're the salt, you're the light, flavor the world, light my way. That's what it means to be the people of God's world. To share this gift that you've got. Not keep it to yourself. It's great you've got it. But it's meant to be shared. To be shown. Amen. So now may the